We've been doing a study on and off, going through the books of the Bible. I made it up to Deuteronomy, which is what we're going to talk about today. Just trying to give an overall feel for what each book is about so that we better able, if you want a piece of information, be able to go say, well, it's probably in this book. The book of Deuteronomy is the last book in the section of the Old Testament that is known as the Law. The books that are attributed to Moses. These are books basically written by Moses. There are five of them, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Though Moses never actually called the author of Genesis, it's known that he at least was the editor of it. But in Deuteronomy, it's actually a collection of about four sermons, which Moses presented to the people just before he died. And just before the people entered the land of Canaan. As far as historical accounts go, the book of Deuteronomy only covers 5 weeks of history. There's only 5 weeks of time that's actually probably being presented here. The name of the book itself is Deuteronomy. It's from a Septuagint title. The Septuagint was a Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures. In that copy, they called this book the Second Law. That's what Deuteronomy means. In the Hebrew, they named all their books basically by the first word that were, or first couple words that were in the book. So in Hebrew, this book was named These Be the Words, which are the very first words in Deuteronomy. It is a recap of God's laws that God gave to Israel. It's a review. You have to remember that as we were going through, and as also Brother Malden, when he was doing the gospel meeting here, talked about, as the people of Israel left Egypt, and because of the sin where they refused to go into the land of Canaan, God made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years for the purpose of that generation to die off. So the generation that Moses is now addressing, Moses, Joshua, and Caleb are all that's left of the old generation now. And Moses is addressing a generation that basically did not experience firsthand the slavery in Egypt and hearing the God speak on the mountain, other than maybe a lot of them when they were little kids, but not as adults. And so Moses is going back over the law to remind them, well, this is the things that your parents committed themselves to. These are the things that God expects from you as well. And giving these people an opportunity to recommit themselves to doing God's law. And this serves as then a reminder to the new generation of what God had expected from them. In fact, if you want to pick a word to describe what Deuteronomy is about. The one word that comes up a lot of times in Deuteronomy is the word remember. Because Moses uses it repeatedly to say, you need to remember these things. In fact, it is Deuteronomy, by the way, that Jesus quotes from to defeat Satan. When he was tempted in the wilderness after fasting for 40 days and Satan kept tempting him. He quotes from Deuteronomy. He quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13, then from 16 and chapter 8 verse 3 to prove that Satan was wrong. There's also the book that Jesus said contains the greatest commandment. And that's over in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 4. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, or might. This was, Jesus said, the greatest commandment. This is the primary command from which all other commands come from. So let's do a brief outline then of the book. Deuteronomy chapter 1 through 4, the first four ones is Moses' first address. His first lesson that he gives to the people, that's chapters 1 through 4, and it's basically about the topic of how they got there. How Israel came to this point. So it's basically a recap of a brief history of what happened. It's basically a quick review of what happened in the book of Numbers. In fact, chapters 1 through 3 is basically, it can be seen as just a summary of what Numbers was about. But then also, so in chapter 4, Moses points out how lucky or how fortunate Israel was. God gave Israel a law that was unlike anyone else. No one else could claim and have a law that came to them from God. And so Moses emphasizes they had been honored by God to be picked as God's people and to be given a law like no other law in the world. And they should realize the significance of it. Then starting with chapter 5 is the second address. And it goes from chapters 5 all the way to chapter 26. The bulk of the book is the second address. And in that book, Moses reviews Israel's laws. So this is Israel's law in review. So in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, there is a the Ten Commandments is repeated. That's in chapter 5. In chapter 6, he talks about the importance of being obedient and the teaching of the law. How they had to pass it down from generation to generation. Why that was important. Because it was God's laws. Then in chapter 7, he talks about the importance of the fact that they, as Israelites, needed to be separate from the nations around. And so this is where the laws that come in, for instance, don't marry certain nations, don't pick up the idolatry, don't behave like the nations around you. Those are all in that particular chapter. In chapters 8 through 10, there's a recap of the wilderness wanderings. Moses wants them to know that God had laws. They had been disobedient to them. They needed, he talked about the importance of being obeying God's laws, and they needed to be separate from the nations, and here's an example of where they failed to be obedient. And so he goes back over the wilderness wanderings and Israel's rebellions against God. And again, he emphasizes that there's the importance of obedience again. And that's in chapter 11. Then starting with 12, there's just a whole collection of numerous laws, just, you know, one after another, on a whole variety of topics. They go from chapters 12 through 15. 16 basically covers the feasts, recaps those, the feasts that they were to keep. 17 talks about the concept of justice There's laws for judges and laws for kings, even though Israel currently doesn't have a king. There was basically laid out already for them laws that the kings were supposed to keep. And that was in chapter 17. In 18, there is talk about the Levites' portion. So how the Levites are going to be supported. And there's also discussion about false prophets. This is important because Moses is about to die. There are going to have to be other men who come up to tell the Israelites what to do. They're going to have other people coming to speak God's word. Well, the question is then, well, how do I know this is going to be a really a prophet of God? How do I know that this man is a prophet like Moses was? And so Moses gives them the criteria. He tells them what false prophecy is like. Here's where you can get all the long list of the different types of witchcrafts and other things like that. Followed by, here's how you can tell who a real prophet is. And Moses then predicts that there's going to be coming a prophet, the prophet of God, who's going to be like him. And he's referring to Jesus Christ. And this is also in chapter 18. The cities of refuge is discussed in chapter 18, as well as there's some laws about witnessing. What happens when a witness lies on the witness stand, that type of thing. Those are all covered in chapter 19. There's actually a section on, I don't know how else to put it, but rules of engagement in war. In chapter 20, and there's a whole long list of saying, okay, you can't, for instance, when you go wipe out another nation, don't chop down all the trees, don't chop down the orchards, don't. No, they had a whole bunch of rules about how to behave in warfare. And then finally, there's another set of various laws. Again, it's just a whole collection. There's no real one topic. And that goes from chapter 21 to 26. Sorry, I got way down low on the board. Then we get to the third address of Moses. The third one is his third lecture. It starts in chapter 27, and it goes through chapter 28. It's quite a bit shorter, just two chapters. And here's where Moses talks about Israel's future. So it talks about how they get their past, what they need to do, and what's going to happen to them in the future. It's very interesting because Moses lays out in very fine detail exactly what Israel's going to do. He tells them, first off, they're going to have some rules. When they get into the land of Canaan, he tells them that they are to record the law. On Mount Ebal. And that's in chapters 27, 1 through 10. That was actually fulfilled by Joshua. Just for a moment, let's go over to Joshua chapter 8. Let me read that for you. Joshua did do as Moses commanded. In Joshua chapter 8, starting with verse 30, then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel. As is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no man had wielded an iron tool, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written in the presence of the sons of Israel. It's not just saying, okay, he wrote out the Ten Commandments. He copied the laws. That was quite a bit of writing to be done. But a record of the law was made on Mount Ebal, on the stones of the altar that was done there. Then, also on Mount Ebal, the Israelites were supposed to divide up into two camps. And they were specified which tribe was to go to which mountain. If you remember from Liam's pictures, he showed two mountains right next to each other with a very small valley in between, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. On Mount Ebal, then, was to be read a list of curses. And Moses gives out the list of curses that would be read on Mount Ebal. And that's chapter 27, 11 through 26. And then on Mount Gerizim were a set of blessings that were to be read out. And that's chapter 28, 1 through 14. And then that last half of that chapter is, well, actually more than half a chapter, but then it was the consequences. For disobedience. And it's this section right here that is fascinating, because we understand that Moses wrote this thousands of years in advance. And he says, basically, write down in fine detail, you're going to do this, and here's how God's going to respond. And he basically details the Babylonian the Assyrian wipeout and the Babylonian captivity in detail, saying this is what's going to happen. You're going to disobey. Here's what God, how God's going to respond. He's going to send you off. He's going to send you into captivity. You are going to come back. But he lays this all out, saying here's the consequences of your disobedience. And so it's recorded for us. This is one of these interesting chapters where we know it was written long before, and it came out exactly as was stated. The fourth address by Moses is covered in chapters 29 and 30. And that is basically where Moses has Israel reaffirm their covenant with God. He goes back through and says, okay, here's what you're going to agree to. Are you going to accept this or not? No, this is your last chance. You're about to go in the land of Canaan. Here's what God expects from you. Here's what God's going to deliver. Here's what God's going to expect from you. So they have a chance to basically renew the covenant with God. And then the last part of the book are Moses' final words. You could count them as separate addresses. For the chapters 31 to 33. Chapter 31 is Moses' counsel to Joshua. Joshua is going to be leader after Moses. And so we have a record of what Moses gives as advice to Joshua before he takes over. In chapter 32, actually, that's not the whole chapter. The last, whoever divided the chapters did a poor job here. Because it goes all the way up to, but not including the last verse. The last verse of that chapter is actually part of the next section. And it's the Song of Moses. It's the introduction, actually, to the Song of Moses. Moses wrote a poem, or a musical piece. And it's chapter 31, 30, through the end of chapter 32, which is verse 52. So chapter 32 is the psalm itself. The last verse of chapter 31 is the introduction to the psalm. And then the very last chapter is known as the blessing of Moses, where he blesses the children of Israel, gives them his parting goodwill just before he goes up to the mountain to die. And chapter 34 then is the death of Moses. Now, if you think about it for a moment, it's hard to write a chapter about your own death. And it's what happened. Most people believe that Joshua probably wrote that chapter. It would make the most sense. But then it would be the record of Moses' death. After he had done all that. So that's a brief outline of what Deuteronomy is about. Not too much in the way of historical. Historical in the fact that we have the recounting of events. But the actual events themselves are basically the Council of the Joshua and the death of Moses. That's most of the real-time historical record that is being written there. One of the things I mentioned, though, Deuteronomy is about people remembering. And if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, I just want you to see the various things that Moses tells the people to remember. Because I think we can learn from that. Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting with verse 9. He says, "Only give heed to yourselves, and to keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Remember the day that you stood before the Lord God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, 'Assemble the people to me, that I may lead them to hear my words, so they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children.'" He tells them, you need to remember when the law was given to you, so that you realize the significance of it and the importance of teaching it to the next generation. In verse 23 of that same chapter, Moses says, "So watch yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a graven image in the form of anything against which the Lord your God has commanded you." They have to remember that they were under a covenant. They were under a binding agreement with God. And they needed to treat it seriously. In chapter 5 and in verse 15, Moses says, "And you shall remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Also in chapter 15, in verse 15, he says the same thing, that they need to remember that they were slaves at one time. "Since you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord God redeemed you, therefore I command you to this day." And again in chapter 16, in verse 12, "And you shall remember that you are a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes." And in chapter 24, in verse 18, and it says, "But you shall remember that you are a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore I'm commanding you to do this thing." And then down in verse 22, "And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore I'm commanding you to do this thing." Notice how many times Moses had to remember, don't forget you were slaves. It was important. I think part of it is it was important for their humility. They needed to remember where they came from. That they weren't necessarily deserving of the blessings God gave them. Also, going back to chapter 7, in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 18. It says, "You shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember that the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt." They need to remember their deliverance, how God showed his power, and how he freed them from the land of Egypt. In chapter 8, starting with verse 2, he says, "And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God had led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that the man does not live by bread alone, but a man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot swelled these 40 years. Thus you shall know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him." They needed to remember the hard times. They needed to remember the trials. I particularly like this verse because it says that God tested them in the wilderness to know whether they would keep his laws or not. This is a very important verse to say that mankind has free will. And until man makes his choice up, there's some things that are just not known, even by God, until man makes his choice. That's why we endure sometimes testing and trials. An opportunity to make a choice. Moses also reminds in verse 18, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." This seemed to be an important part, but if you're going to remember the covenant and the laws and everything else, you need to remember God as well, the one who gave you all your blessings. In chapter 9, in verse 7, he says, "Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place, you have been in rebellion against the Lord." Now, most people don't want to remember their sins. We know we make mistakes, but we would much rather forget them. Moses is telling you, you need to remember how you rebelled against God all this time. He's basically saying the whole time he's been under his leadership, they've been in constant rebellion against God. They needed to remember those sins. In chapter 16, and in verse 3, he says, "And you shall not eat leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat it with leavened bread, the blood of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, in order that you may remember all the days of your life, the day when you came out of the land of Egypt." They needed to be reminded that they were freed from their sins. And in chapter 24, verse 9, says, "Remember that the Lord your God did to Miriam on the way as you came out of Egypt." Basically, he's telling you, you've got to remember that God did not tolerate sin. He did not tolerate rebellion, even from among the leaders of Israel. In chapter 25, verse 17, "So remember that what Amalek did to you along the way when you came out of the land of Egypt." He's referring to their first war, their first battle. Shortly after they left Mount Sinai, they were attacked by the Amalekites and had a rousing victory. That's when Moses held up his arms, and Aaron and Hur had to help hold up his arms. And they routed the Amalekites. They need to remember their first victory in war. And in chapter 32 and verse 7, it says, "Remember the days of old, consider the years of all generations. Ask your father, and he will inform you, your elders, and they will tell you." He's basically telling them, you need to remember your past. Now, the reason why I want to go through all this is because we as Christians can learn something here. It's important for Christians to remember as well. Now, we don't have to remember that we were slaves in Egypt, but we do need to remember that Jesus brought to us a law, and we entered a covenant with him through baptism. Just like the Israelites were told, don't forget you're in a covenant. Don't forget that you're under a law. Don't forget that how it came to you. We need to remember that as well as Christians. Over in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And in verse 9, it says, "For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and all authority. And in him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." We need to remember that we are following Christ. Christ delivered us and gave us a covenant. We need to remember that we left sin behind and were delivered as well. Just as the Israelites left Egypt and its sins behind. In Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. "Therefore remember that you formerly, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you all at that time were separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make two into one new man, and thus establishing peace." We need to remember that Christ came and saved us from our sins, because that will help us remember what we're here for. To live righteously. We need to remember that the hard trials that we go through, we need to not forget them. And learn the lessons and remember those lessons. In James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting with verse 2. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." We need to remember those things. We can't forget the hard times. Obviously, we need to remember God and not forget him. We need to remember that we'll give an account of everything that we do before God. We will be tried by God. God will bring judgment on us. In Romans chapter 2, starting with verse 3, "And do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same thing yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath, in the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds." And like the Israelites who needed to remember their first victory, why do you think that was important? Remember when you win. We as Christians need to also remember our first victories when we overcome sin. For instance, in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, remember therefore from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds that you did at first. Or else I am coming to you and will remove the lampstand out of its place unless you repent. We need to remember when we did things right. We need to remember when we did things wrong, but we also need to remember when we did things right. So that we hang on to those right things. And we need to remember the gospel. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 7, it says, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended of David according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment, as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We need to remember the gospel. The story of our Lord. The story of our salvation. We need to remember our past. So we can go into our future. I can offer an opportunity this night. If there's anyone here who is not a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And if there's anyone here who is a child of God, I would like the prayers of the brethren on their behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing this song. Select.